Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Faster by. Good evening. It's 5:30. It's update for Monday, 12th of April, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. And background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates. The newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases of COVID-19. That's 30 active cases. No one in Nobles with COVID in this update. The latest from the COVID media briefing. The right direction, but be careful of herd immunity, says Ashford. Training for Manx advocates is out of date. Are the roadworks stopping shopping? Memories of the Duke of Edinburgh award scheme. And today there are 726 people self-isolating. Lockdown 3, day 41.
And Benham advocates for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, these are the update news headlines. Faster my Alex Wharton.
Faster my. There have been no new cases of COVID-19 for the second day in a row. The active number of cases has now dropped to 30 and no one is being treated in hospital with the virus. Government's therefore on track, it says, to lift a significant amount of the island's lockdown restrictions by the 19th of April. Chief Minister Howard Quayle reiterated the target at this afternoon's coronavirus media conference. And inflation on the Isle of Man has increased by 0.2% in March. Statistics published by government show the Consumer Prices Index rose by 0.8% last month. The current figures don't include air and sea fares due to the ongoing border restrictions. Further afield, the Duke of Edinburgh's grandsons have paid tribute to him as MPs recall their meetings with the longest-serving consort. Prince William called him an extraordinary man, while Prince Harry says he was a rock for the Queen with unparalleled devotion. Pubs, gardens, shops, gyms and hairdressers have opened in England for the first time in months. The Prime Minister's urging people to behave responsibly, though, at the latest easing of the coronavirus lockdown. And a survivor of the Manchester arena attack has told the Inquiry how she noticed the bomber minutes before he detonated his device. 22 people were killed and hundreds injured at the end of an Ariana Grande concert in May 2017. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
And Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, right, thank you, Alex. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, no problems out in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours. Continuing fine this evening, dry with clear intervals overnight. Small chance of a shower, cold enough for a grass frost. Overnight minimum 1 Celsius. Tomorrow, largely dry with sunny intervals. Isolated showers, maximum temperature 10 degrees in light winds, and it's much the same for the rest of the week. Low water this evening, 9 minutes past 7. Sunset tonight is at 14 minutes past 8. The overnight high tide, 4 minutes past 1. Low water tomorrow morning is at 7:15. Sunrise, 6:23. In the morning, the afternoon high tide, early afternoon high tide at 1:05.
Having a new kitchen fitted or just fancy a change? Manx Glass and Glazing can produce bespoke coloured splashbacks to complete the look. Speak to the team at Manx Glass and Glazing today.
No new cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man for the second consecutive day. Nobody being treated in hospital. The active number of cases now dropping to 30. News welcomed by the Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, and the Public Health Director, Dr. Henrietta Ewart.
The figures are very much doing exactly what we want them to do. And now that we're 14 days, that's one full incubation period for COVID, clear of the last unexplained community case, we can be increasingly confident that we don't have ongoing transmission in the community. So that is obviously excellent news. And when we couple that with the progress of the vaccination programme, the increasing good news coming out from the monitoring of the vaccine effectiveness that is being done by Public Health England across, and which has recently shown, they published in the last couple of days, the latest monitoring data, which shows the considerable impact that the vaccination programme has already had on reducing numbers of deaths across. So that's another piece of excellent news. And then, of course, the fall in rates across is also good news for them and for us.
If the data remains as strong as it appears today, I am hopeful that from the 19th of April, we will be able to lift a significant amount of the restrictions that are in place. It may not be everything in one go. It may be that we will need to keep some measures in place for just a little longer. But as far as possible, we do want to step out of your lives as soon as we possibly can, and as possibly we want to get in a place where it is for us to tell you about the risks and how best to minimise them, and then for you to make the right decisions for you and those around you. There are some final details that we need to work throughout the next couple of days, and we will let you know exactly what Monday will look like after the Council of Ministers meeting on Thursday.
There's been widespread coverage of a University College London assertion that the UK's reached a point today where herd immunity could start playing a significant role. Just over 72% of people being either vaccinated or having had COVID or gaining a level of protection. But will that affect us on the Isle of Man? At today's Manx briefing, Health Director Henrietta Ewart said this group had made rather optimistic claims before, and the Health and Social Care Minister, Mr Ashford, has concerns.
I worry about the phrase herd immunity, because herd immunity is a very specific phrase that actually means once you've built up a certain amount of protection, everyone else within a community can be protected. Even with the vaccine, it does not guarantee someone cannot contract COVID and pass it on to someone else. Like I say, the transmission is looking very good. There's a reduction in transmission from the vaccine, but it's not absolute. So I think the words and the phrase herd immunity, certainly in some of the media in the UK, is being used a bit out of context of what herd immunity is, because certainly I've not seen any evidence to show that herd immunity is occurring from COVID-19.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening. Thanks for joining Manx Radio. It's 23 minutes before 6. The Constitutional Legal Affairs and Justice Committee will ask Timbal to accept the position that the Manx legal system is in need of urgent reform. The committee believes the training system for Manx advocates is out of date and insufficient. Chair Jane Paul-Wilson spoke to Tessa Hawley.
We were conscious that even the recommendations made in those reviews had not been fully implemented. And in particular, the Calcutt review, which reported in 2001, made a number of recommendations about reform of our advocates' disciplinary tribunal, which haven't been implemented, and also said that there should be a regular review at least every 10 years. We're also aware that there has been a lot of reform in jurisdictions around us. For example, there's quite significant reform ongoing in England and Wales around the route to qualification for the profession. And we felt it was very, very important that the areas of entry, access, qualification, and also the oversight and regulation of the profession be reviewed and kept up to date and in line with competitor jurisdictions, but also suitable for a modern and well-regulated jurisdiction.
How can we reassure people that this is something that we will continually not just review, but also action?
Yes, I think that's a really important point, actually, Tessa. And it's too easy, isn't it, for us to have reviews and then for them to gather dust on a shelf. And I think the committee's concern is that's what's happened in the past to some extent. I think what is different, and it's the output of one of the first recommendations the committee made, is that we now do have a minister with executive responsibility for justice. So we have within executive government a recognition that this should be part of executive responsibility. And so there is somebody with ownership and therefore the requirement to implement the outputs of the review that we're recommending.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Say goodbye to the Ben McCree. She left Heysham at 2 o'clock this afternoon, arrived in Douglas about 15, 20 minutes ago, currently on the Lynx band. But tomorrow morning, the sailing from Douglas to Heysham is Mananan, because the Ben is off to Camel Laird on the Wirral for her biannual service. So Mananan's going to be handling the Heysham passenger service, the Arrow providing the freight service for a couple of weeks at least.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Now, is this you? The Council of Ministers is looking for experts to offer independent advice during the COVID-19 pandemic. The details from Tim Glover.
The establishment of an emergency advisory group was approved by Tim Wall back in November. In January, Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas brought back a motion to put a time frame on the concept, and now we're seeing the results. That was successful. The idea is for the group to support ministers to make decisions on COVID-19 policy in a collaborative and transparent manner. It was felt the Council of Ministers might benefit from independent and non-political advice from outsiders. There's a wide net being cast here. You can be a professional in academia, legal, business, industry, emergency planning, science and technology, communications, health and care, logistics and education. The people appointed to these voluntary roles are needed to have an appreciation of the Isle of Man and its context, an understanding of and respect for how government operates and the influencing factors, be articulate and capable of contributing to debate, meetings and deliberations, and have a good level of IT capacity and capability. It's being emphasised, though, that these are non-paid voluntary appointments and you must be available to attend meetings virtually or in person when they are called. Interested? Well, you'll have to get a wiggle on, as applications need to be in by midnight on this Sunday, the 18th of April.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
18 minutes before six, Ramsay Shipping Company, Mezeron, has been acquired by a business backed by logistics experts led by William Stobart. It's now going to be known as WS Mezeron Limited. The firm operates from East Quay in Ramsay and moves freight and goods between Belfast and Glasson Dock in Lancaster. Steve Walton remains as MD with full control and management of the business on a day-to-day basis. He says there's been no public announcement as they're concentrating on playing their part in maintaining essential trade for the Isle of Man during COVID-19. And as soon as possible after lockdown, the Manx law firm Corlett Bolton's base in the west of the island will move from Market Street, Peel, to bigger and renovated premises at 48 Michael Street and will then be open 5 days a week. Corlett Bolton and Co. already have offices in Finch Road, Douglas and Bayview Road, Port St Mary, and will next year celebrate their 30th anniversary. They offer a wide range of legal services and accessible legal experience for individual clients and businesses, from family law, wills, trusts, land and conveyancing, employment law and business and civil litigation. Get the full story at corlettbolton.com.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
And the news from Ramsay Crookall, it's all happening. The news is that European and UK markets closed lower as global stocks took a breather after hitting record highs. The dollar dipped slightly, oil edged higher, gold fell, and in corporate news, Ocado, which has benefited from lockdowns and restrictions, was weaker as lockdown easing began in England. And the numbers now at the close in London, the FTSE 100 was down 0.4% at 6,889. The DAX in Frankfurt down just over 0.1% at 15,215. From Ramsay Crookall, the latest just after 5 o'clock in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial down 0.1% at 33,763. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 0.6% at 13,815. And from Ramsay Crookall, the news from the Midwest in Chicago, the S&P 500 down 0.1% at 4,123. In the exchange market, the British pound sterling worth $1 37.4 cents and €1 15.3 cents. And in commodities, gold down 0.7% at $1,731 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 0.3% at $63.18.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsay Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
It's feared roadworks in and around Douglas could discourage shoppers from heading to the High Street. A number of infrastructure projects are currently being carried out, which are affecting traffic going in and out of the town centre. Many retailers have been heavily impacted by coronavirus restrictions, and efforts are now turning to ensure they get the support they need to survive. Douglas Council leader is David Christian. He spoke to our local Democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
This is good investment infrastructure in Douglas as well. You know, so I do welcome this from DOI, the fact that we are seeing this investment in some of our roads and infrastructure, which are falling into a poor state of repair. It just seems that at this present time, you've got three quite major ones going on there that's going to cause quite a bit of disruption, you know, and I think it will put people off. And let's face it, when we come out of this lockdown and we get Strand Street and the main shopping area up and running again, you know, we're going to have to all of us do everything we possibly can to support local businesses. You know, they've had a real rough time. You know, some of them have rallied really well and have been able to do click and collect and home deliveries. That's not the same as having punters through the doors. You know, we need to get back into the street, make a vibrant area again. You know, so let's get on and get these roadworks completed.
There was also a rate rebate discussed for businesses in Douglas. Where are we at with that?
People can actually submit to them if they wish to come forward for rate reductions. And some people have actually received those rate reductions. And I think there was another sitting in April where there are a number of businesses going forward again. The council can submit views, and we do submit views to the Rating Appeals Board. But at the end of the day, we then have to accept the decision that comes back from them. Obviously, there are other Treasury schemes up and running at the moment. And one of those is based around the level of rates that people pay. I think it's based on last year's rates is a sum of money they can claim and then use as cash flow within their business. And I'm sure that's been very welcome. You know, I mean, I think if you look at all the packages that Treasury and government have put together, that, you know, they've got to be applauded for what they have managed to achieve. And quite often in a very short period of time to get something on the table to assist people. These have been extremely tough times.
Manx Radio Sport.
Bastamy, Rhiann Evans.
Bastamy Island resident Mark Cavendish has taken his first win since 2018 in the Presidential Cycling Tour of Turkey. The race, which takes place from the 11th until the 18th of April, covers 1,347 kilometres in 8 days. Cavendish has won stage two of the tour. Athletes from the majority of sports are often thwarted by age when it comes to having to stop competing at an elite level. But not all. Multi-Commonwealth Games gold medalist Jake Keeling has been reflecting on how his sport eludes the age restrictions more than most. For more than two decades, the legend of clay pigeon shooting has represented both the Isle of Man and Team GB in multiple Island Games and Commonwealth Games. Though the pandemic has put a halt to all competitions for now, Jake says the good thing about shooting is being able to keep your hand in at a high standard for much longer than many others.
That is one really major advantage of it. It's great because in a way you get better because it's a very mental game. Once you've learned the basics and technique and everything, it often comes down to just sports psychology and the mental game. And of course, as you get older and a bit more experienced, I've got better at that side of it. And you can keep going into your twilight years.
Further afield, and Hideki Matsuyama has made golf history by becoming the first Japanese man to win a major title. He's the Masters champion after recovering from a nervy start on the final day to claim victory by one shot on 10 under par. Matsuyama tells Sky Sports News the title will mean a lot in his country.
I hope by taking the green jacket back to Japan, that will inspire a lot of younger golfers to follow in my footsteps, and that they will be able to bring more back to Japan too.
And England women's interim boss Hege Riise is encouraging her players to improve their finishing in tomorrow's friendly with Canada. They go into the match off the back of a 3-1 defeat in France. It will be the final chance for players to impress ahead of the Olympics.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
11 minutes before 6, everything's fine on the Mountain Road. Clear as a bell it is. The Loganair 5 o'clock flight to Liverpool, LM685, still hasn't departed, although they're saying she will be back on time at 20 to 7 this evening. It's the patient transfer plane. On the roads, Mona Drive in Douglas closed to vehicles to the end of this week between the junction with Central Prom and the service lane, the rear of Empress Terrace and Castle Mona Terrace. There are waiting restrictions too. The saga goes on Douglas Promenade. Remember, it has its own website, myprom.im. Elsewhere, Quarterbridge Road closed tonight between 6 and 6 tomorrow morning. Peel Road to Tremode Road for resurfacing and footpath reconstruction. Castletown, still the West Hill Avenue service lane closures for the construction of the new properties. Also in Castletown, Ellerslie Gardens and Malou Street close to vehicles between School Hill Avenue and the Crofts for some drainage work. Silverburn Bridge, public right-of-way number 423 is closed for safety to pedestrians and vehicles between the junction with the B41 Grenaby Road and with the A3 Ballymotha Road because the track's eroding badly. And Paul Rose Bridge is closed for replacement before TT 2022, they say. Keep your fingers crossed.
Order your tyres online outright or with a payment plan at tyresformycar.co.uk and we'll come to you free during lockdown. Reduce contact, beat the virus spread.
Back to those roadworks. Are they the main issue keeping people away from the high street around Douglas? Some people believe the issue runs deeper. One person with his finger on the pulse of hospitality is the golf tour operator, Jed Power. He was on the Man in Line today.
I don't think we can reverse the tide of consumer behaviour, first of all. I cannot actually see that. And I think for the town centres, we don't want redundant and vacant shop windows. It looks awful. So I think if you can perhaps encourage residential, and these are confined to true first-time buyers, they're never going to be investment properties. You know, there's got to be some conditions relating to that. But also encourage the nighttime economy as well, cafe bars, you know, places for entertainment and fun. And when we get our visitor economy back, they can, you know, visit the Isle of Man and go to certain areas. And, you know, it's got to be based around that Victoria Street kind of vibe, right around that kind of square half mile, if you like, extending to the South Quay, so that when people come to the island, they can say it was a vibrant evening, you know, that they had. There were places that were open, there's activity, and not, you know, boarded up shops and you know, redundant areas.
Jed, how can we make it a compelling offering then in hospitality for people? What do we do?
I'd say that we've got to have government working in partnership with businesses. And we've got to have very strong influence from private enterprise, having people that are involved in, you know, spending their livelihoods in generating revenue in those sectors. And really it's having a harmony between those areas and government. And I think we've got to really sell the Isle of Man better. I think we've got to be a destination that will be for people to come to, like why folks go to Liverpool, you know, which is a bit of shopping and a night out. We'd like to have that here, as well as the outdoor experiences and so forth. But in the next year or so, the European landscape is going to be entirely different to what it was. And we're going to have a shed load of tourism opportunities, you know, coming out of the UK and Ireland.
A Manx resident who was one of the first people to take part in the Duke of Edinburgh Award scheme says working with young people was one of the highlights of taking part. Malcolm Kelly completed his Silver Award in 1957, just a year after the scheme launched.
Towards the gold, you had to do an expedition, which was a bit hairy. You had to show that you'd done some community work, which I had done. I'd worked with elderly people for an organisation called the City of Salford Companionship Shelter for the Elderly. It's a bit of a mouthful. That was my community service, and I had to have an interest in something or other. Actually, they let me do sport as an interest, which I was surprised they did, but they did. I used to play a lot of rugby and did boxing and table tennis and swimming. So I was fairly fit.
What sort of impact do you think doing the award had on you?
I think it was working with younger people. I was with the YMCA and I had taken one or two people out on expeditions because they'd never been out of Salford. That was prior to doing the Duke of Edinburgh. But I realised that this was something that I could use in the Duke of Edinburgh Award. So I used to take quite large parties. And that was certainly something that happened as a result of the Duke of Edinburgh. That's something that is a great interest to me, because I believe that young people and older people should work together on some of the issues of the current period. Older people have a huge interest in the future, and they believe that, as they're quite right to do, that younger people are largely the future. They're the present too, but they are largely the future.
That's it for Update tonight. Compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department, thanks to newsreader Alex Watton, producer Rhiann Evans tonight. And all the stories you've heard and many, many more are available at manxradio.com. All the interviews and the podcasts and the web's biggest source of Manx videos. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. And I'll be back tomorrow evening at 5:30. If you're looking for a bank holiday, 3 weeks today, there is one. And 7 weeks today, there's another one, not too far away. Have a good evening. WINT.